5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to The New Next, the podcast where tomorrow is today and the future is now. I'm your host, Matthew Jensen, and together we'll embark on a journey through the evolving landscapes of technology, innovation, and the current events shaping our world. Ever since I've been a kid, I've loved James Bond movies, and one of my favorite James Bond movies is Diamonds Are Forever. That movie is partially built around the whole space program. And there's been long, and Moonraker too, for instance, there's been long in popular culture, this belief that eventually we would have space-based weapons, whether that be lasers or the ability to launch nuclear weapons and other devices out of space. So we recently had a resolution that went through the United States or the United Nations Security Council focused on banning nuclear weapons in space. And it was very interesting because this was co-drafted by the US and Japan, and which is very, you know, US used the most dramatic use of nuclear weapons in history at Japan's expense. So it's, you know, kind of an interesting turn of history in that itself. But out of all the UN Security Council members, Russia voted against it and China abstained. I think this is very interesting because I've long suspected that Russia is developing a nuclear-based weapons program in for space. This was part of the reason why the Space Force was launched here in the U.S., even though it was roundly mocked. And there's, I think, even a show made about it that I haven't seen, but it looked pretty hilarious. But it's the war of the future will be fought in the space and in the seas. So space, and I think it's called inner space, that they call the seas. I'd have to ask my friend Brian, but it's very interesting sort of thing because you have, you know, hypersonic missiles that are becoming more of a thing globally, that so many countries are having them. They're very difficult to defend, basically. And you have part of the reason why you have a lot of these countries building bases on the poles right now is because they essentially need it to help guide their hypersonics as they go around the world. It's very interesting that most things are a target right now. We talked about like the Sarmat 2 intercontinental ballistic missile that Russia has, which it's an ICBM that basically opens up the tip and can launch, I think, up to 13 nuclear housed hypersonic missiles off of it. But the tools of destruction are getting very, very interesting. And it's, you know, it's kind of getting to a point where mutual destruction is not outside the range of a potential outcome for a lot of these countries. So, you know, we saw kind of an interesting scenario recently with Iran and Israel both launching ICBMs on each other's countries, more in a tit for tat. But historically, if you had launched missiles and hit a country within a reasonable distance, that would lead to big response and a war immediately. It's just when you really go to the point that we have now with the type of weapons that these major powers have, there's a lot of destruction that can occur, and there's a minimal amount of defense that you can really really defend if someone really wants to. So this, going back to this veto, it's interesting because I do feel that Russia has had a head start on the U.S. in here, and it does provide to their strategic military advantage to not give that up. But it's also say a very difficult thing to really think about the fact that space is the next forefront. We talked about this basically satellite system. Also, if you've seen You Only Live Twice from James Bond, they have that space system that opens up the top and then can swallow satellites. And China simply has something that's very similar. They claim it is for space junk, cleaning up the space of space junk, but it could also be used for basically swallowing up satellites and other strategic assets of their enemies. So this is, it's a, it's very interesting. And it's very interesting to think about where their secret programs have been developing military assets for space. Reuters reported back in February that Russia was preparing to deploy, according to the U.S. government, a space weapon which might be nuclear. U.S. intelligence believes that it's likely more that they're developing a nuclear-powered device, so something that can be in space for quite a long time and use more energy to bind, jam, or fry the electronics inside satellites, rather than a explosive nuclear warhead to shoot them down. And, you know, thinking about that technology, that would be quite more beneficial if you're taking out, you have the ability to take out low orbit satellites like Starlink, for instance, GPS devices. That would potentially take out the entire, you know, if you took them all out, it could potentially take out the entire communication systems over the world. So for the most part, if you have your systems that aren't basically from ground-fed communication systems, that would be quite amazing. So, you know, of course, the Kremlin denies this, but this is the world that we're heading into. And if you're talking about space wars, a lot of what we put out that tracks everything that we do on Earth has major economic outcomes. And these communications that really power our wireless world, there's a lot of potential quality of life issues with our interconnected technology way of life that could go down in scenarios like this. You kind of there's a essentially like systems that you can use to create your own mesh internet, like you would in a house or in a stadium or something like that, that could be deployed over large regions where they didn't actually ever go into space and never actually sent internet and phone signals to there. But a lot of people see this as a way of the past, and it might become the way of the future when you have some of these devices in there that a country, whether known or unknown, can fry communication systems at will of what they want up there. Fry private satellites and really disrupt a lot of the way of life for individuals. So it's a very interesting scenario built around this UN authored resolution that was vetoed, that this is a potential future that we're looking at, and quite amazing. So this is something that I've thought about for years, even back in the day when I was watching these James Bond films. So to see a lot of the stuff that was talked about theoretically in movies that came out 30 to 40 years ago really look like a feasible outcome, where there's hard technology that's really being developed for this, whether it be on the security side or preventative. It's quite amazing. So, and it's quite amazing to think about the worst case outcomes for some of these. And, you know, the chaos that would ensue globally if this actually became a reality. So, I mean, a lot of people are asking, why would you veto this? And saying, what are you hiding? And when I see stuff like that, I'm just like, well, we know that this has been going on. And I think the US and our allies are behind in this area, even though we're trying to improve day by day. But a lot of these countries that have had the ability to have more control over the type of technology that they produce in the warfare sense, I think I have a good head start on it. And this is something that we really need to be focused on in the near and long-term future.
And that wraps up another episode here at The New Next, where the future isn't just something we predict, it's something we're creating together. But the conversation doesn't end here. We want to hear your thoughts, your ideas, and your visions for what comes next. Head over to MatthewADJensen.com to share your feedback on today's episode. Your insights not only fuel our discussion, but also help shape future episodes of The New Next. And while you're there, take a moment to explore how Matthew Jensen can help guide you through the intricate world of strategy and digital transformation. Whether you're looking to innovate, transform, or just stay ahead of the curve, let us help turn your challenges into opportunities. Before you move on to your next podcast or dive back into your day, take a moment to rate us. Your ratings help us reach more like-minded innovators and thinkers, expanding our community of future makers. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, a forward thinker, or just curious about the world's next chapter, thank you for joining us on this journey. Remember, the future isn't just something to be predicted. It's something we are actively shaping with every discussion, every idea, and every action. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible. Let's explore the future together. This is The New Next.